I am the pastor of King & Kings Church, and it's great to be with you today. What a blessing to come and be with you. I've never attended here before, so it's just wonderful to see what God is doing here. So special to be a part of your worship. Thank you, Grant. And so special to be fellowshipping with you this morning. I loved our time of prayer upstairs and a couple of things before the service. Thank you so much for your graciousness in having me come and speak here this morning. I count it a real honor and a real privilege. I trust that John is going to be having fun on the other side of King of Kings as well. Just one or two things about me. I'm married to Shelley, and we've been married for quite a couple of years now, and we have, oh, this is interesting, the moves. Okay, all the new things you learn. And we have two children, Hannah and Nate, and they're growing up way too fast for my liking. But such a blessing to have children who love the Lord and a wife who is also so supportive of my ministry. And it's great to be with you and with your families this morning. Right, so today's message is called God Wants You to Rise Up. And somehow, although I WhatsApped John Isaiah 60 verse 1 to 3, I see we got Isaiah 61 verse 1 to 3 up there, but that's no problem. That Isaiah 61 is also a great passage. But we're going to be looking at Isaiah 60 verse 1 to 3. And I really believe that this is a word from the Lord for us today. There's a couple of scriptures I'm going to be looking at, not just that one. But if you do want to open your Bibles, you can go to Isaiah 60. And the message that I believe God has just laid on my heart for you this morning is God wants you to rise up. Or as the seasons have changed, I don't know if it's been the same for you, but as winter is slowly arriving, although we've had a nice one or two days now, but with it getting a little bit cooler and darker, in the Smith home, we are finding it really difficult to get up in the mornings now. And Nate and myself, I don't know why it's the boys, but we battled to get up. Hannah comes running through and she says, I've really had my yogurt. And I'm like, we're still all busy waking up yet. But it's getting hard. It's getting, when you hear that alarm clock going off early in the morning, and you're going, oh, no, is that seriously the time to get up? And be honest, who's guilty of hitting the snooze button way too often, okay? A couple of us. See, some of you don't have to worry about that. You're very fortunate. Okay. So I hit the snooze button way too much. And it's getting hard to rise up, particularly in winter. But we know we've got to. We've got to rise up. We've got to get up. We've got to face the world. We've got to take responsibility, do the things we've got to do. Yet in another more serious sense of those two little words, rise up, I believe we're living in times when it's becoming increasingly difficult for Christians to rise up and to take the stand that God is calling us to take. It's far easier just to hit the spiritual snooze button, just to punch that button and just say, you know what, it's easier just not to take responsibility. It's easier here just not to do the right thing. It's easier to just back off from what we know God is calling us to do. We're living in very interesting times. And we really need to have a good understanding of the times in which we live. I think it was the men of Issachar who were commended for being men who understood the times and they knew what to do about it. They understood the times that they were living in, and not just that, but they knew how to deal with that and how to go about things. And so it's so important that we understand the times in which we live. A time in which good people are afraid to speak up about what's right and about what's wrong. A time when truth is being challenged. And when Christians are afraid to rise up. Because it feels like when you do, that it's much like sticking your head out of a trench. You know, and the bullets are just whizzing by, and in many ways you just feel so much safer just keeping down, staying low, don't cause a scene, fly beneath the radar, hopefully no one will notice that you're a Christian. But I'm sure you'll agree, that's not God's heart for us. That's not how God intended for us to live. But these are concerning times, and I'm sure you're aware that Christians are being persecuted around the world. I had the privilege to travel to China recently, and got to travel extensively around China and saw what was going on there. It just blew my mind. I had baptized a lady who was recently released from prison in a porta pool on the seventh floor of an apartment. We had to fill up this little porta pool so that we could baptize her in secrecy in this flat. It just blew my mind. And I had the privilege of baptizing this lady who had been in prison because of things she believed. And I'm sure you know that persecution takes many different forms. It's not just the obvious violent hostility towards brothers and sisters in Christ who risk imprisonment and all kinds of other horrible things. I know we have children in the service, so I don't want to talk about that now, but we realize that as we rise up for our faith as people, and the 50 most persecuted countries in the world rise up for their faith, they're facing such challenges for doing that. Nowadays, the hostility towards Christians is taking new forms. If you share verses from the Bible on social media, even that can get you into hot water. Ask Israel Palau. Okay? Maybe we don't get into debate about that. Maybe the way he went about things wasn't quite right. But even there, even if you share scriptures, that can get you in hot water. They say that you're free to your religion, of course, as long as you don't say anything they don't like. And it's not just in Australia or elsewhere. There are hate speech bills being worked on, even here in South Africa, right now. I was at a Freedom of Religion conference up in the northern suburbs this past week, and I heard about all the court cases against pastors, all the court cases against churches that are currently underway, all the court cases against Christian men in business, women at the moment. And it's quite scary. These are the times in which we live. And sadly, this has begun to affect the church and our willingness to be bold and to take a stand and to rise up for the things that we believe. And the Apostle Paul warned us about this. And he said this when he spoke to a young pastor, Timothy. He said in the last days, this is from 2 Timothy chapter 3, he said, people will be lovers of themselves. They will be lovers of money, boastful, proud, abusive, disobedient to their parents, ungrateful, unholy, without love, unforgiving, unforgiving, slanderous, without self-control, brutal, not lovers of the good, treacherous, rash, conceited, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God. Having a form of godliness, but denying its power. Have nothing to do with such people. It's quite a list, right? Quite a list of things there. 19 different traits, and I wonder how many of those might describe us in some way. A few things strike me about this, though. One, Paul is speaking here about the end times. And yes, he was talking about the times in which he lived, but he was also talking about the times in which we live, because we know from the book of Acts that Christians there refer to the fact that we're living in the end times. So these are the times in which we live in now as well. Another thing that strikes me is that this was written to the church. We know that these things happen amongst people who don't believe in God. Anyway, I play for the Masters hockey side, and I see the worst of mankind, okay? Like in the changing rooms afterwards, when, you know. People who don't know Jesus don't know any better. This is how they behave, because they just don't know. But the scary thing is, Paul's saying this is how even people in the church are going to begin to behave in the end times. It's a real challenge. And we're living in times where Paul says, you know what, Timothy, you saw how I was persecuted for my faith. You saw. You've got to remember, though, Timothy, this is what's going to happen in the end times, and you have to stand firm. You have to stand firm, and you have to challenge the church to rise up in the midst of a world that's just going crazy. I pulled some stats from Open Doors, which is linked to the World Watch List in the 50 most persecuted countries. This is some of the stats they give. During the 2019 reporting period, 4,136 Christians were killed for their faith. 2,625 Christians were detained without trial, arrested, sentenced, and imprisoned. 1,266 churches or Christian buildings were attacked. Now we might go, oh, that's happening in those countries, Neil, where persecution is rife and it's that kind of crazy stuff happens. Praise God, we're okay. And yes, praise God, that we're not seeing that level of persecution. But let me just say, 1 Corinthians 12 says that we are one body. If one part suffers, every part suffers with it. If one part is honored, every part rejoices with it. I also want to say persecution is happening here in South Africa as well. The only reason that maybe we're not experiencing it on a hectic level is because we're not always taking a stand, I believe, the way we should be. We're not always rising up as Christians the way we should be. Do you know in China, Christians don't have to be persecuted. If they would just shut up about Jesus and stop taking a stand for Him, they could dodge persecution as well. And so, we're living in some crazy times. We're living in a time where Christians are afraid of standing up and rising up. And yes, things are starting to infiltrate the church, and yet the Word of God is challenging us to rise up and to remain pure and to take a stand on the things that God is calling us to take a stand on. We cannot just blend in with the world around us. We cannot just conform to the patterns of the world. So what about you, my friend? What is God saying to you? I believe with all my heart, He's saying, it's time to rise up and to shine. The prophet Isaiah spoke this prophetic word over the people of God in Scripture. In Isaiah 60, verse 1 to 3. So here we go, here it is. Arise, shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord rises upon you. See, darkness covers the earth, and thick darkness is over the peoples. But the Lord rises upon you, and His glory appears over you. Nations will come to your light, and kings to the brightness of your dawn. God wants His people to arise and to shine, not for our own glory. Never. Never for that, but for the glory of the Lord God Almighty. I'm sure you'll agree, we are living in dark times. There's so much darkness over the world. There's so much hatred, so much animosity, so much evil. But the Lord wants to rise upon us. He wants to bolster us. The Holy Spirit wants to encourage us to be bold. That song that we were singing just a few moments ago, to stand up with courage. To not be afraid to share our faith with people around us. To not be afraid to take a stand on ethical issues. So that the light of Jesus may be seen. Jesus said these words in Matthew chapter 5. You are the salt of the earth. But if the salt loses its saltiness, how can it be made salty again? It is no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and trampled underfoot. He went on to say, you are the light of the world. A town built on a hill cannot be hidden. It's either do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on its stand, and it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others, that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven. You see, church, as Christ followers, we are the salt of the earth. We're meant to be change agents, calling people to live differently in the light of Christ. That's our saltiness. Sadly, though, the church, by and large, seems to have lost its saltiness in the world. As Christ followers, we're also called to be the light of the world. The Christians have stopped shining like the way we're meant to. Generalizing, of course. But by and large, as I look at the world today, I keep saying, Lord, won't you raise up more and more men and women of God who are shining for you, Jesus. Shining for you. We are called to rise up and to shine. And so here's what I believe God is saying to you as a church here at New Year. It's time for you to rise up. Now is the time. Don't wait for a better time. There'll be no better time. I'm reminded of Esther in the Bible in a critical time in her nation's history. If she stayed silent, if she just hid and, you know, got down in the trenches, it would have spelled disaster for the people of God. Yet she had an opportunity to rise up and to speak out for what was right. And she took that. Esther's relative, Mordecai, told her this in Esther chapter 4. For if you keep silent at this time, Esther, relief and deliverance will rise for the Jews from another place. Because God's always going to do what He wants to do, regardless of us. But He goes on and He says, but you and your father's house will perish. And who knows whether you have not come to the kingdom for such a time as this. Esther rose up and took that opportunity in the time in which she lived. She took a stand. The question is, will we as Christians do the same? The church must rise up for such a time as this. Are we willing to do that? Are we willing to risk it all for such a time as this? To speak up for what is right? These are the times into which the Lord has placed us. And the people around us, they are our circle of influence. They are our responsibility to reach. And who knows whether you have not come into the kingdom for such a time as this. It's time to rise up. And I know some of you might be feeling though, Neil, you don't know me. You don't know what I've done. You don't know how I've messed up. You don't know my shortcomings. You don't know how when I try to share my faith, I start to stutter or everything gets muddled in my head. I don't know how to talk properly. Neil, you don't know about the things I've done, the things that make me feel so inadequate and that somehow I just feel disqualified from being used by God. Here's what I believe God would want to say to you. If you've messed up, get back up. Get back up. It's like that whole thing of learning to ride the horse, you know, or to ride the bicycle. You've got to get back up. You've got to get back up. If you've messed up, bring that to the Lord. Repent of that. 1 John 1 verse 9 says, if we confess our sins, He will be faithful and just and will forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. If you've messed up, get on your knees before God, deal with it, and then get back up and go again. I've learned this time and time again in my life because I'm not perfect. I make mistakes all the time. I like how Micah puts it in Scripture. Micah 7 verse 8, he says, "Do not gloat over me, my enemy, because though I have fallen, I will rise." That's a person who knows how when he's made a mistake, when he's messed up, when he's fallen, he knows he needs to get back up and try again. And I find it interesting, and I think I want to tell somebody here today that no matter what the enemy has said to you, has tempted you into doing, has tricked you in, no matter what he has on you, it's time to rise up. It's time to get back up. Proverbs says, though a righteous man falls, he's going to get back up. And I don't know if there are people here today who feel like you've been knocked down. You feel like you're down and out. You feel like you don't have the strength, the energy to just to even get back up again. God is with you. Turn to Him. Turn to Him and He will help you. He will strengthen you. He will be with you. He'll get you back on your feet. It's time to rise up. In Acts chapter 26, we see that amazing story of how the Apostle Paul encounters the Lord Jesus Christ on the road to Damascus. It's an incredible story, and it's a story about encountering Jesus. And we all know back then, before he was the Apostle Paul, he was known as Saul. And let's face it, he wasn't such a great guy. He was living in open rebellion towards God, towards Jesus Christ. He was persecuting Christians, standing there, being the one encouraging that and the stoning of Christians. He wasn't a nice man. He wasn't a good person. You know, maybe by law and all that, he thought he was, but inside he wasn't. He was far from God. And yet on this road to Damascus, he meets Jesus. And Jesus knocks him off his horse, okay? The power of God just arrives. And he falls off his horse or donkey or whatever it was. And we see in Acts chapter 26, verse 16 and on, Jesus then says to him, he's lying, Saul, then, lying on the ground, okay? And Jesus says, "Now get up and stand on your feet. I have appeared to you to appoint you as a servant and as a witness of what you have seen and will still see of me. I will rescue you from your own people and from the Gentiles. And I'm sending you to them to open their eyes and to turn them from darkness to light and from the power of Satan to the power of God so that they may receive forgiveness of sins and a place among those who are sanctified by faith in me." Jesus meets Paul on that road and turns his life upside down. Completely upside down. And calls him to a whole new ministry. And says, "Paul, you've got to rise up. There's things that I want you to do. There's churches I want you to plant. There's letters I want you to write. I need you to stand up. I need you to be the man of God that I'm calling you to be." What's the lesson for us? Well, it's time for us to rise up and shine. It's time for God, I think, for Jesus to get a hold of us like that, like he did with Paul, and to turn our lives upside down, and for him to call us to rise up, because just like he had a work for Paul to do, he has a work for you to do. He has a work for me to do. Here's the sad thing. I see this all the time. I believe there are people in the church that have laid down in the Lord. They've laid down in the Lord. They've hit the spiritual snooze button. I don't know how else to put it. And I just want to say, this is not a time of rest. This is not meant to be a time of rest. Yes, I know that that we have the Sabbath, we have to, that we, it's important to take time out and rest and be with our families. But how many of you know in the kingdom of God, this is, we've got work to do. We've got work to do. And I just see over and over again in churches that I visit, so many Christians who have just laid down. They've just stopped working and serving and rising up the way they should be. Some of you here today, maybe you might feel, Neil, I'm retired. I'm retired now. You know what? In the kingdom, it's not a time of retirement. It's really not. You have people that you can connect with and reach that I can't. The Lord has a plan and a purpose for you. The Lord has given you gifts that He hasn't given to me. Could it be that He's called you into the kingdom for such a time as this, even in your retirement, even in this season in your life? I believe with all my heart, God saying, I've still got work for you to do. You know what? We don't get to walk away from our gifts. We don't get to walk away from serving. We don't get to walk away from being men and women of God. Called to arise and shine. Called to be the light of Jesus. Called to be saltiness in the world around us. The work is not yet done. There's a lot of things riding on you. Let me just say, God is sovereign. I believe in a sovereign God who's going to do things with or without us. I believe that with all my heart, that He's inviting us to be a part of it. He's inviting us to get in on it and to serve Him. Acts 26, Paul wasn't the best guy before he got changed into Paul. So don't go disqualifying yourself. Don't go saying, Neil, but this, that, and the next thing. Look at Paul. I mean, it was pretty bad, the things that he did. Trust me, my friend. If God can turn his life around the way he did, he can do the same in your life. And so, as I promised, God is saying, rise up. And we can do that because He rose up. He is risen so we can rise. I want to bring this message back to Jesus and just remind you that we serve a God who rose up. We serve the only God who ever rose up. The enemy came to steal, kill, and destroy. But He said, I have come to give life and life abundant. And He has called us to be a risen people because He is a risen King. It sounds like old school preaching, but it's really important. And so how do we do this? Well, how do you rise up? It actually starts with bowing down. Sounds crazy, but it starts with getting low and by bowing down before God. He is the only one we should fear. The Bible says that we need to fear the Lord. And that is a healthy fear and respect toward God. Where we know that He is the sovereign Lord God of all the universe. And so, how do we respond to this message? How do we rise up the way He wants us to? It begins with getting on our knees before Him, saying, Father God, forgive me for where I've messed up, for where I've not risen up the way You wanted me to, where I've not shone the light of Jesus the way You wanted me to. So for many of us, it begins with repentance. We have to walk humbly before God. Because that is the way to rise with Him. That's the way the kingdom works. It's all upside down. But God loves it when we're humble of heart. We come to Him with that attitude. Oh, He loves to lift us up, man. Psalm 40. I waited patiently for the Lord. He turned to me and he heard my cry. He lifted me up out of the slimy pit, out of the mud and the mire. And he set my feet on a rock and he gave me a firm place to stand. He put a new song in my mouth, a hymn of praise to our God. Many will see and fear the Lord and put their trust in Him. Isaiah 60 again. Arise, shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord rises upon you. God wants you to rise up, my friend. Rise up out of that sin. Rise up as a parent. Rise up as a church. Rise up in your community. Rise up in your country. Rise up in missions. As William Merrill put it, rise up, O Church of God. Have done with lesser things. Give heart and mind and soul and strength to serve the King of Kings. Amen. Let's close in prayer. Father, we want to thank you for your word to us this morning. A reminder that you call us to rise up, to be the men and the women of God that you are calling us to be in these times, Lord, which we know the world's just going crazy, Lord. There's just so much going on that we read about it in the newspaper, on the news, and on our news apps on the internet, and we just go, "Wow, it's crazy what's going on around the world." But Lord, we know that more than ever before, you are calling your people to stand firm, not to blend in with the world around us, but to rise up in boldness, Lord, and in faith, and to be who you're calling us to be. May the church not be infiltrated by the things of the world, Lord. May we love you more than anything else, Lord. And may we serve you faithfully in this day, in this time, in this valley, in this city, in this nation. In Jesus' name we ask it. Amen.